Epilogue. During the days and months after The Reporter Who Knew Too Much was published, readers, young and old, and from not only the United States, but from Australia, Iceland, Germany, Canada, France, and Great Britain, shared their love for Dorothy with this author and their outrage at how the circumstances surrounding her death had been covered up for 5 decades and counting. One email from Iraq showed a copy of the book on a lunch counter at a military base. The reader said the book was stolen the next day. While thousands of readers have flocked to Dorothy's defense, one fan said, she swam upstream in a big river without getting her hair wet. Just as happened in 1965, those in the journalistic world have, for the most part, ignored a colleague who was, without question, a role model for what a journalist should be all about. When The Reporter Who Knew Too Much was published, this author sent more than 40 copies to major newspaper editors around the country, requesting they join the fight to get their courageous colleague a proper investigation. No one replied. No one wanted to stand up for Kilgallen's rights as a victim. If one checks bio.com under famous female journalists and nonfiction writers, Kilgallen is ignored. On thewire.com, where it lists the 22 outstanding women journalists in the last 100 years, Kilgallen's name is nowhere to be seen. Regardless, the beloved reporter has been an inspiration for many young women, among them several who have decided to pursue a journalism career based on Kilgallen's story. In addition, at speaking engagements, this author has had many people tell him, "I wish we had reporters with Kilgallen's integrity today." Unfortunately, continued disappointment has been experienced from Dorothy's family members, who let her down in 1965 and continued to do so many years later. When asked during her brief 2017 interview with New York Post journalist Susan Edelman whether she had read The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, Kilgallen's daughter Jill answered, "No, and I don't intend to." Regarding this author's participation in telling Dorothy's story, Jill said, "He just wants to sell books. He's just one of the crazy people." Questioned as to why she wouldn't read the book, she answered, "Just because I have a bit of a sense what it's about. It's the third one that's come out." During a follow-up question regarding what she thought about the book's conclusion, that her mother was murdered, Edelman recalled, "She then rushed me off the phone." Queried as to whether it was painful talking about her mother's death, Jill replied, "It's several things." Since Jill won't cooperate, one must wonder whether one of the several things she mentioned could be that at some point she realized Carrie was Johnny Ray's son and not her father's. If so, this would have been quite devastating to Jill. For instance, learning that the same man, Ray, who surprised her at her 14th birthday party, was at the time having an affair with her mother, resulting in her brother being an illegitimate child. Touching on other subjects, Jill told Edelman that she doesn't support the investigation. Why does the DA care? She had read a summary of the autopsy, okay, read parts of it, and that she dismissed the hairdresser accounts. Recall she thought enough of Sinclair and Simpson to invite both to her wedding, while confirming that the NY District Attorney's Office had not contacted her. Jill added that she had not read Edelman's article about Dorothy's case, but then corrected Edelman that Breakfast with Dorothy and Dick was the proper title regarding the radio show. Jill said she did not know Ron Pataki, but had sympathy for him having to go through all of this. Edelman's assessment, the responses were nonchalant about her mother's case. She seemed detached. Detached seems to be the byword regarding so many who simply don't give a damn about Dorothy's death and whether she receives justice. Perhaps it is because she died so many years ago that so many don't care. But they forget that the victim has rights, and that no human being is less valuable than another. If they had a close relative whose rights were denied, they would be screaming for justice. But with Dorothy, There is no close connection, unless they read her story and become as furious as those thousands of people who have emailed this author. Certainly, defending the dead is difficult, but less so when the dead assist with the defense. Some may be ready to carry this author off to the loony bin, but there is absolutely no question that from start to finish, Dorothy has been guiding me from the hereafter, so that I could tell the truth about her life and times and her death. For the most part, I have been praised for doing so, but I had no choice after I heard the 8 words that caused me to write the first book and now this one. They've killed Dorothy. Now they'll go after Ruby. They were uttered, as noted, by Jack Ruby's attorney, Marvin Belli, whom I knew personally during the 1980s. He said them to friend Dr. Martin Shore shortly after Kilgallen's death. The Belli biography, the first of the 4 books I have written about the JFK assassination, based on 15 years of research. A radio talk show host once said to me, "You probably know more about the true facts involved with JFK's death than anyone in the world, or maybe in history." Based on Dorothy's assistance, maybe he's right. Open the door to learning about her remarkable story. Through my efforts as Dorothy's voice, as her paladin, I will continue my quest to get her the justice she deserves. When Dorothy Kilgallen's reputation is finally restored, as must be the case, that she was not a drug addict and an alcoholic, but one of the most remarkable women in history, that will be the day her research and investigative skills will be recognized, since there is no doubt her investigation of the JFK assassination is the most compelling in history. The evidence added in this book, supporting that statement, confirms her courage, her bravery, that she is indeed the patriot so many readers have acknowledged. As noted, Kilgallen's finest day may have been the one when, like Katharine Graham of the Washington Post, who published the Pentagon Papers, despite threats from the Nixon administration to put her in prison, Kilgallen had the gall and the courage to publish Jack Ruby's testimony before the Warren Commission before its release date. In tandem, these 2 remarkable women had tackled 2 of the biggest lies in American history, events leading up to and the escalation of the Vietnam War, and the distortions of history surrounding the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Certainly, Kilgallen's actions proved, as did her brave sister Graham's, that the truth is not always what those in power want it to be, especially when 2 true patriots, regardless of the danger, whether it is loss of freedom or prison or loss of life, take action. Without question, you were, Dorothy, like Katharine Graham, a hero until the day you died. One day, the respect you deserve will be yours, and justice will be served as it must be. Mark Shaw.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Denial of Justice, Dorothy Kilgallen, Abuse of Power, and the Most Compelling JFK Assassination Investigation in History. Written by Mark Shaw. Performed by BJ Harrison. Executive producers Laura Gatchko and Mike Charzik. Producer Chelsea Pita. Copyright 2018 by Mark Shaw. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.